I pray some thoughts that will help us tonight concerning prayer. I guess if I title it, I just title it, God Answers Prayer. You believe that? God answers prayer. And I praise Him and thank Him for that. And I want to deal with that just a little bit tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, will you stand please just for a moment while we honor the Word of God? I'm thankful we have a Bible, God's precious Word. And this verse we quoted years ago when we started the Saturday night prayer meeting and kind of latched onto it as a theme for our praying, and said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And I'll have to say that God has answered prayer and shown us great and mighty things that we didn't know and did not know how God would do nor how what would be the outcome of. But our God answers prayer. And He said, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the word of God. And this verse of scripture, you said, "Call unto me and I'll answer thee." Our Father, tonight, as we try to handle this subject of prayer, I realize the fact that we need you so desperately to help us. And Father, help us not only in preaching tonight, but in our praying. And I pray that some thoughts tonight would encourage hearts, challenge us, and help us. And we'll praise you and thank you in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In thinking about this subject of God answers prayer, I want you to turn with me in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14 and 15. A verse that Brother Jerry Heilman shared with us here a few weeks ago has stuck in my mind and heart as he did, as he shared that. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. "And this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Now, I want you to notice in that verse, he says, according to His will. We sometimes get criticized in our praying because we say, if it be the will of the Lord, and praying for somebody that's sick or praying for somebody that has something special like that. And I believe it's scriptural to pray according to the will of God. It's not always God's will to heal. And God may have a purpose for someone, and we'll share that with you a little bit later, but I just wanted you to grasp that. But what I'm saying in that verse is, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Therefore, let's ask anything in His will, according to His will. He heareth us, and we know that he heareth us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, that's a positive there, that God answers prayer, and as we pray in the will of God. Over in Philippians 4 and 6 and 7 talks about, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding man, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so we need to call, it said, be careful for nothing means don't worry about anything. It means simply trust Him for everything and pray with supplication and thanksgiving. And so it's another positive that God answers prayer, and God does. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, it said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And the next verse says, "And he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh is opened." I'm glad that it is that we can seek God, we can knock, we can ask. It is our privilege to ask God. Did you know that? And I bowed to pray a while ago, and I was thinking about the privilege that we have to bow before the living God, the one that created this universe and everything that there is. I mean, the one that was before anything else was, He is. And He's spoken in existence, and He's holy, 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 and inhabits eternity. And I have the privilege to ask him and come to him and ask and seek. And he promised me that he would hear me and answer that. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And so another positive about our praying. Now, what I wanted that, just giving you that little kind of introduction, but what I really want to get to is God answers prayer. And I want you to know that it's not always yes, but God does answer prayer. And I pray that God will help me tonight to share this with you and that it'll be meaningful and help. As I thought about it, help me. I pray it'll help you, and I trust that it does. Yes, many times it's yes. God does answers yes. That's what we read in our text. Calling me and I'll answer thee. Show a great and mighty thing. Out no, it's not. Now you have to take that in the context of where it is. And let me give you another scripture, if you will, right quick. I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse 24. Isaiah 64 and verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. And while they're yet speaking, I'll hear. Now, there's a positive answer, but in context of that scripture, he's talking about the millennium. He's talking about when Israel's reestablished and all of that. And so a lot of times in reading promises of answering prayer, read it in its context, get what he's talking about. But God does say, according to his will, we're praying, we're asking. God says, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll hear you. And yes, I'll help you. Power to serve the Lord. He promises that and gives a yes to it. In Acts 4:31, and said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. And they were praying, asking God. They'd just been beaten. They'd just been cast out, some of them. They'd been threatened if they spoke anymore in the name of Jesus, but they got together and they prayed. Ask God for boldness, and God gave them boldness to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. I say tonight, if you're right with God in your heart and you want boldness to witness, ask God. Ask God. He said he'd hear us and answer yes to it. I'm glad there's a yes to that prayer. Amen. I'd be in a mess if God didn't say yes and help me in that. I'll tell you that right now, trying to witness to anybody, trying to preach, trying to do anything, trying to talk to anybody to help them. If God did not help us, we wouldn't get any help. He gives a boldness that we need to speak for him, and I praise him and thank him for it and thank God for the reality of it. I'm glad God says yes to sinners that repent. In Luke 18:13, you remember when that publican went up to the temple to pray, and publican went up, and Pharisee went up, and Pharisee stood over there and talked about how good he was. But that poor publican just smote his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God heard him. And God saved him. And the Bible said he went down to his house justified rather than the other. Aren't you glad God hears sinners when they pray and ask God for salvation? When he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he's saying, I'm repenting. I know I don't deserve it. Be merciful to it. Our sister over here stood a while ago and said, talked about how good God been to her, and she didn't deserve that, and she doesn't. I don't, you don't, nobody else does. And this poor old publican, he knew he didn't, but he cried to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God saved him by his marvelous grace. I'm glad God hears a prayer of sinners and saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a positive yes. Now you take that in context of those that will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. They shall be saved. And I remember talking to Daniel Sunday night, and we were talking about that verse of scripture and trying to emphasize to him the importance of believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior, and that he will save. And I praise God and thank God that he does save, did save him, will save. Every sinner that will come in reality will come and ask God to save them. He said he would. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to preach a gospel that says God may not save you. Amen. I'm preaching a gospel that I know God said for you to come. If you come in repentance and believe in, he'd save you. That's what he said. If we confess and believe in our heart, he said he'd save us. I believe that. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that's not a may be saved, I hope so salvation, but it is a reality that shall be saved. I praise God and thank God for it. And so God says yes. I pray, and as we pray for help to minister, as we pray for help to be a witness, as we pray to God to help us in whatever it is endeavoring to do for God, and praying, sinners are praying, he answers prayer, yes. God answers prayer many times when we're praying about sickness or we're praying about something else, God will say yes. And I was talking to Brother Jerry Vick a while ago, and their granddaughter, Melissa's daughter, Leah, you know, she's been diagnosed with some kind of arthritis, and she's just a young'un, a little child. But the doctor said it'd be a year and a half before anything would begin to improve. But already there's improvement, and they're just praising God and thanking God that God has answered prayer in her behalf. He said yes. When they began to pray, we began to pray. Others have been praying for that little girl that God may have mercy and help her. And God said yes so far. And so I praise God for that and rejoice in it. So when God's saying yes, that's wonderful, and praise him. But God don't always say yes, but God answers prayer. I want us to get this. Sometimes people think God don't answer prayer except one way. And when I ask God for something, if I get it, God's answered prayer. If I don't get it, God hadn't answered my prayer. God answers prayer. It's sincere prayer from an honest heart that does not hide sin. God answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's no, but he answers prayer. I guess a classic example of that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. Look at it with me. If you would please, I want you to get this. You've heard it over and over again tonight. I'm just reminding you that sometimes God answers prayer by saying no, but he's got a reason for it. And here's Paul now, he's speaking and said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Paul said, except I don't get too exalted. And because of all the revelations God gave me, so he gave me a thorn in the flesh. That is, he had something wrong with him. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. That means three times he asked God to remove it, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's saying here that God didn't answer my prayer yes. He said no when I asked him to remove the thorn. He said no three times. But then he went on to say that God had assured him that his grace was sufficient and that his power would be manifested in him. And he said, I'll glorify in my infirmities. Thank God that I'm sick. That's what he's saying. Thank God I have a thorn in my flesh. Thank God I'm not well in all ways, because if I were, I may have gotten exalted too much and God wouldn't have used me like he is. And Paul was glorying God in God, glorying in his infirmities, because God had answered no to his prayer. And I say, how often have you ever thanked God that he said no? I tell you what, there's probably more times we ought to thank, all the time we ought to thank God, because he always does right. But there have been times God said no to our prayers, and we didn't really know what we were praying for and asking God for. If he had answered yes, it probably messed us up, sure enough. And God said no, and God helped us with that. Aren't you glad God knows what he's doing? Even when we're praying, I'm talking about praying now, asking God, and God says no. And we ought to thank him for that no that he gives us, and thank him and praise him for it. Back in First John chapter 5, I give you verse 14 and 15 a while ago. Let me give you verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. He said, now there's a sin unto death, and there's a deadline somewhere, and said, I don't say y'all pray for that. Now, I don't know how to go into all that, and I can't answer all your questions about that, but I do remember back in Genesis 18, and Abraham had been approached by God and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, three men came by, one was the Son of God. I believe a theophany of the Lord Jesus Christ, and met with Abraham, and Abraham knew that Lot was down there in his family, so he began to intercede for Lot and for the family and for Sodom itself. And he said, if you can find 50 down there of righteous people, will you destroy the whole place? And God said, no, I won't destroy it if I can find 50. And so God was saying, I said, I'm answering your prayer. He said, well, what about 45? He said, I'll not do it for 45. I said, what about 40? And you know the story. He went right on down till he got to 10. And God said, if I can find 10 righteous, I'll not destroy Sodom. But then he stopped it, cut it off, and said, that's enough. From then on, it was doomed because he couldn't find 10 righteous down in Sodom. He wasn't any use in Abraham praying anymore. Wasn't any use him saying anything else. They had sinned under their way of, day of grace away. They had went too far. They stepped over the line. And God said, that's enough. We'll not go take it any further. And that's it. And so he let the fire fall from heaven and destroyed that place. In Hosea chapter 4, and verse 17 said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. What he was saying was, don't pray for Ephraim anymore. He said, let him alone. They joined the idols. They went so far now, just let them go. And you say, preacher, is there a time not to pray for somebody? There is a time when people cross God's deadline. There is a time that our countries, and what about America, preacher? I'm still praying God have mercy on us. I'm still praying God have mercy on us. Amen. I believe it's still enough around that God can still have mercy on us. God still gives a burden about that. But you ever been praying for somebody, really had a burden about it, and really got under the burden and prayed, and God all of a sudden took that burden away. And you just didn't have the burden to pray anymore about that. And God took it away from you. Why is that? I believe you have a time God says that's enough. You prayed enough. And they had a time you don't need to pray anyway. I talked about Achan Sunday, and I mentioned him in the preaching of a hidden sin. And when Achan was, and when Joshua got down to pray about that thing, and he told Joshua, get up one time to pray, and time to deal with sin. And so he had to do that. And so we realize the fact that God says no sometimes to prayer. And it's not always a yes. Sometimes it's a no. And in Matthew chapter 7, a while ago, I talk about verse 7 and 8. But in verse number 6, it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample on the feet and turn again and devour you. And I believe it says devour you, but anyway, hurt you. That's what he's talking about. And he said, there's a time to pray, there's a time to witness, there's a time to go after it, and there's a time not to do it. And so we need to understand that and realize the fact God is still God. God's always right. He's never wrong any time. Let me give you another thing about God saying no. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is your heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sin has hid his face that it will not hear. Now, there's one reason God says no, is because sin, I dealt with that Sunday, tried to, hidden sin. Hidden sin, it hinders God from doing what God wants to do. And so here he's saying, it's, you're praying about something, and my answer is no, because you're not ready to pray anyhow. Your iniquity separates between you and your God. If we're really going to pray for somebody else, we got to get ourselves right first. We got to be sure. I liked what Sister Janie said a while ago. Said she came to altar Sunday morning and she got some things right. And Sunday night, then a grandchild come and got saved. And I say hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And so it's good to see that happen. And I praise God for it. Isaiah 66 and verse 18. Thomas said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we need to realize the fact that we need to deal with sin in our lives so God will hear us and not say no to our praying. And so God says yes sometimes, and sometimes he may say no. And when God says no, he's got a purpose for saying that. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're right ourselves so we can pray. And then pray. If God says no, he's got a reason for it. And he's got something he's doing in our lives. And I've asked God to help me physically about many things that God hadn't done. And you can look at me and tell me sometimes something wrong somewhere, because I used to be taller than I am now. Wasn't any better looking, but I'm taller. But something happened and taking me down, but I don't, that's God's business, amen. God take care of that. I'm getting me a new body one day anyhow, amen. And I don't understand all that, don't understand why I'm not getting better quicker, but And the doctor said be slow, but I'm praying he'll be wrong, amen, and he'll speed up some. But so be it. I can still see, amen. I can see you back there in the back. I barely can see Brother Walker, but I can see him, amen. And God knows what he's doing. God always says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You say, preacher, I don't like to wait. Neither do I, but sometimes we have to. Look in Daniel chapter number 9, if you would please. Daniel 9. Let's look at this. Together, I'm going to give you a few verses here out of Daniel. I guess it's a classic about waiting. And Daniel here in chapter 9, verse number 3 and 4. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God keepeth the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And so he began to pray. Now, if you would please look in verse 17. Verse 17. And we'll read through verse 19. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication. Cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Now he's praying in the right kind of way. Got the right attitude. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people called by thy name. He certainly is praying in the right way. But look in chapter 10 and verse number 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse number 12 and 13. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Here's Gabriel had appeared to him, and now said Michael came to him and said, God heard you first day you prayed, but the devil hindered, and we had some interference about that. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. When we're praying, it's not an easy go-lucky task we're doing. Sometimes we are bombarded with spiritual wickedness to hinder the prayer. The devil will do everything he can to keep your prayer from being answered, and he'll try to interfere with that. So we need to keep praying, keep asking, keep believing God, keep trusting God like Daniel did. He wanted an answer. He stuck with it. And 3 weeks he was waiting for that. He was disciplining himself in fasting and praying and putting sackcloth. He absolutely meant business with God. And God heard him first day. 21 days later, God sent the answer to him. I say to you, sometimes we have to wait on God. We get in a hurry about it. I do. I don't like to wait in line about anything, but I've learned more patience down through the years. It's all right. And time is going to go on, and not going to change the world anyhow. If something different happens, amen, than my time schedule, but I'm glad God's got it under control. He's always right on time. Revelation 22 and 20. John the Revelator got down to the end of the book. He saw the glory and knew what was going to happen in between. He said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we're taught to, we ought to pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus and look for that blessed hope. But you know what? He'll not come until it's time for him to come, and he will come and not tarry. He'll put that right on time. Did you know when Jesus came the first time? Right on time. You know when he's coming the second time? Right on time. Amen. You say, preacher, you really believe the Lord's coming? I believe he's coming back just as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing. Do you know when he's coming back? I sure do. I know exactly when he's coming. Right on time. Right on time. He'll be right on time, and he won't be a minute late nor a minute too soon. He'll be right on time. So sometimes he says, wait. And then let me give you a third one, and I'm fourth one. I'm going to give you three. A yes and a no and a wait, but here's one and a maybe. Maybe. You could call it conditional. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, God said, I'll answer that prayer if you'll do what you're supposed to do. I'll do my part. So that's a conditional. That's a maybe. And the maybe depends on us, not him. He'll do his part if we'll do our part. Amen. And I got to think about this afternoon or this morning. In Psalms 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. Now, you're talking about witnessing, talking about winning people to God, getting people saved. There's three or four things said in those verses that makes it in a maybe and an if. He said, goeth. If we don't go and we're praying people to get saved, how do we expect God to answer our prayer? He said, they that goeth, we got to go. And then he said, they that go, weeping. And that weeping doesn't mean just necessarily crying tears, but that can be part of it. But with a sincere, broken heart over sinners. A real concern for sinners, not just haphazardly saying we want to get somebody in church so we can say we had so many Sunday. Or so we can say, well, we got this number in church and all that stuff. And that's immaterial. What really is important that God gets glory and somebody gets saved, somebody misses hell. And we're concerned about them going to hell. And we're concerned about being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And going after them. And so he says, go and weeping. And then he said, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. And that seed is the word of God. And I believe Luke 8:11 says that the seed is the word of God. And we bear that precious seed, then that means we're taking the word of God and we're going forth and we have a real heart for sinners and a heart for God. And our love for the Lord Jesus is right, so we love sinners right. Then we can be a witness for Christ and we're going believing God will do something. Amen. Now that's a conditional part of that. That's a maybe God will answer prayer. Will God answer my prayer about witnessing and trying to get somebody to Jesus? Maybe. If you will go, if you'll go with a broken heart for sinners, if you're going to right spirit, if you'll go believing God, if you'll go taking the word of God and trying to, and when he said, you doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing seeds. When God said, I'll do my part if you'll do yours. And so in that conditional and that maybe, and God's saying, maybe I'll answer your prayer. 1 John 1:9. For us that are saved, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will God forgive our sins daily as Christian people, saved people? Maybe. If we confess, he will. If we don't, he'll deal with it. Amen. That's why chastening comes, because we don't confess. But if we confess and deal with it like we ought to and be honest as our sister was over here and say, I need some help and I need God to settle me and help me, then God will. And God did. Amen. And God says yes. And sometimes when you're praying, sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. And sometimes he said maybe. Conditional. It depends on you. And so we got a lot to think about tonight about praying. And so this prayer meeting night, let me ask you, where are you in your prayer line? And do you understand when God says no? Do you understand when God says wait? Do you understand? Do you understand when God says maybe? If you'll do your part, I'll do mine. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit make it real to hearts tonight. I pray tonight that you would help all of us in our praying, that we may realize the fact that, Lord, we have a privilege to pray. It's a great joy to pray and a privilege that is beyond compare in this world to come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, now we pray tonight that you'll have your way in this invitation. Lord, you know our hearts. You know where we are. You know about our prayer life. You know about everything about us. And so tonight I ask you in Jesus' name, anybody here that's unsaved, I pray the Holy Ghost will bring conviction, draw them to Jesus. They'll realize if they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart, God raised him from the dead, they can be saved and will be saved if they'll only come and believe and trust. Repentance, I pray, be real in their hearts. Then those that are saved and there's something there that's wrong in their lives and they know it's wrong and they know they need to get right with God. If they confess, you said you'd forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. I pray tonight you'd help every person in this house that realizes the fact that there's something unconfessed in their life they need to make right. They need to get it right. They need to do what's right. I pray the Holy Spirit work in their hearts and do that. I pray tonight you'd help those tonight that pray and you said wait.
They'll understand that waiting, that time means not quite right, or you've got a purpose for it, or Satan may be hindering, but you're the victor, and you're the one that brings prayer to fruition. So I pray that you'd help all of us to realize that. And then, Father, maybe in conditional, if we'll do our part, you said you'd do yours. Help us not get a hold of that. That get a hold of us. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Won't you stand, please? While the pianist plays softly, I just invite you to come bow and pray if you need.